KSJE and the Farmington Public Library present Quintos, Hannah, and Tales.
Hi, my name is Isabella Gonzalez. I go to school at Mesa View Middle School, and I'm from Farmington, New Mexico. And today I'm going to be reading A Bad Case of Stripes by David Shannon. Kamiva Cream loved lima beans, but she never ate them. All of her friends hated lima beans, and she wanted to fit in. Kamiva was always worried about what other people thought of her. Today she was fretting even more than usual. It was the first day of school, and she couldn't decide what to wear. There were so many people to impress. She tried on 42 outfits, but none seemed quite right. She put on a pretty red dress and looked in the mirror. Then she screamed. Her mother ran into the room, and she screamed too. "Oh my heavens," she cried, "you're completely covered with stripes." This was certainly true. Kamiva was striped from head to toe. She looked like a rainbow. Mrs. Cream felt Kamiva's forehead. "Do you feel all right?" she asked. "I feel fine," Kamiva answered, "but just look at me." "You get back in bed this instant," her mother ordered. "You're not going to school today." Kamiva was relieved. She didn't want to miss the first day of school, but she was afraid of what the other kids would say, and she had no idea what to wear with those crazy stripes. That afternoon, Dr. Bumble came to examine Kamiva. "Most extraordinary," he exclaimed. "I've never seen anything like it. Are you having any coughing, sneezing, runny nose, aches, pains, chills, hot flashes, dizziness, drowsiness, shortness of breath, or uncomfortable twitching?" "No," Kamiva told him, "I feel fine." "Well then," Dr. Bumble said, turning to Mrs. Cream, "I don't see any reason why she shouldn't go to school tomorrow. Here's some ointment that should clear up those stripes in a few days. If it doesn't, you know where to reach me." And off he went. The next day was a disaster. Everyone at school laughed at Kamiva. They called her Kamiva Crown and Knight of the Living Lollipop. She tried her best to act as if anything were normal. But when the class said the Pledge of Allegiance, her stripes turned red, white, and blue, and she broke out in stars. The other kids thought this was great. One yelled out, "Let's see some purple polka dots." Sure enough, Kamiva turned all purple polka dotty. Someone else shouted, "Checkerboard," and a pattern of squares covered her skin. Soon everyone was calling out different shapes and colors. Poor Kamiva was changing faster than you can change channels on a TV. That night, Mr. Harms, the school principal, called. "I'm sorry, Mrs. Cream," he said. "I'm going to have to ask you to keep Kamiva home from school. She's too much of a distraction. And I've been getting calls from the other parents. They're afraid those stripes might be contagious." Kamiva was so embarrassed. She couldn't believe that 2 days ago, everyone liked her. Now, nobody wanted to be in the same room with her. Her father tried to make her feel better. "Is there anything I can get you, sweetheart?" he asked. "No, thank you," sighed Kamiva. What she really wanted was a nice plate of lima beans, but she had been laughed at enough for one day. "Well, yes, I see," Dr. mumbled when Mrs. Cream phoned the next day. "I think I'd better bring in the specialist. We'll be right over." About an hour later, Dr. Mumble arrived with four people in a long white coat. He introduced them to the Creams. "This is Dr. Grop, Dr. Sponge, Dr. Cricket, and Dr. Young." Then the specialists went to work on Kamiva. They squeezed and jabbled and taped and tested. It was very uncomfortable. "Well, it's not the mumps," concluded Dr. Grop. "Or the measles," said Dr. Sponge. "Definitely not chicken pox," put in Dr. Cricket. "Or sunburn," said Dr. Young. They each handed her a bottle filled with different colored pills. "Take one of each before bed," said Dr. Grop. Then they filed out the front door, followed by Dr. Mumble. That night, Kamiva took her medicine. It was awful. When she woke up the next morning, she did feel different. But when she got dressed, her clothes didn't fit right. She looked in the mirror, and there standing back at her was a giant multicolored pill with her face on it. Dr. Mumble rushed over as soon as Mr. Cream called. But this time, instead of the specialist, he brought the experts, Dr. Gord and Dr. Mellon, were the finest scientific minds in the land. Once again, Camilla was poked and prodded, looked at and listened to. The experts wrote down lots of numbers. Then they huddled together and whispered. Dr. Gord finally spoke. "It might be a virus," he announced. With authority, suddenly, fuzzy little virus balls appeared all over Camilla. "Or possibly some form of bacteria?" said Mr. Mullen. "Out popped squiggly little bacteria tails." "Or it could be fungus," added Dr. Gord. Instantly, Camilla was covered with different colored fungus blotches. The experts looked at Camilla, then at each other. "We need to go over these numbers again, back at the lab," Dr. Gord explained. "We'll call you when we know something," but the experts didn't have a clue, much less a cure. By now, the TV news had found out about Camilla. Reporters from every channel were outside her house, telling the story of the bizarre case of the incredible changing kid. Soon, a huge crowd was camped out on the front lawn. The creams were swamped with all kinds of remedies, from psychologists, herbalists, nutritionists, psychics, an old medicine man, a guru, and even a veterinarian. Even so-called cure only added to poor Camilla's strange appearance, until it was hard to even recognize her. She sprouted roots and berries and crystals and feathers and a long furry tail, but nothing worked. One day, a woman who called herself an environmental therapist claimed she could cure Camilla. "Close your eyes," she said. "Breathe deeply and become one with your room." "I wish you hadn't said that," Camilla groaned. Slowly, she started to melt into the walls of her room. Her bed became her mouth. Her nose was a dresser, and two paintings were her eyes. The therapist screamed and ran from the house. "What are we going to do?" cried Mrs. Cream. "It just kept getting worse and worse." She began to sob. At that moment, Mr. Cream heard a quiet little knock at the front door. He opened it, and there stood an old woman who was just as plump and sweet as a strawberry. "Excuse me," she said brightly, "but I think I can help." She went into Camilla's room and looked around. "My goodness," she said with a shake of her head. "What we have here is a bad case of stripes. One of the worst I've ever seen." She pulled a container of small green beans from her bag. "Here," she said, "these might do the trick." "Are those magic beans?" asked Mrs. Cream. "Oh my, no," replied the kind old woman. "There's no such thing. These are just plain old lima beans. I bet you'd like some, wouldn't you?" she asked Camilla. Camilla wanted a big heaping plate full of lima beans more than just about anything, but she was still afraid to admit it. "Yuck," she said. "No one likes lima beans, especially me." "Oh dear," the old woman said sadly. "I guess I was wrong about you." She put the beans back in her bag and started toward the door. Camilla watched the old woman walk away. Those beans would taste so good, and being laughed at for eating them was nothing compared to what she'd been going through. She finally couldn't stand it. "Wait," she cried. "The truth is, I really love lima beans." "I thought so," the old woman said with a smile. She took a handful of beans and popped them into Camilla's mouth. "Mmm," said Camilla. Suddenly, the branches, feathers, and squiggly tails began to disappear. Then the whole room swirled around her. When it stopped, there stood Camilla, and everything was back to normal. "I'm cured," she shouted. "Yes," the old woman. "I knew the real you was in there somewhere. She patted Camille on the head. Then she went outside and vanished into the crowd. Afterward, Camille wasn't quite the same. Some of the kids at school said she was weird, but she didn't care a bit. She ate all the lima beans that she wanted, and she never even had a touch of stripes again. The end. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Gabriela Aranza Teresa Gonzalez. I'm from Farmington, New Mexico, and I go to school at Mesa View Middle School. The book that I will be reading today is The True Story of the Three Little Pigs by John Sheska. Everybody knows the story of the three little pigs, or at least they think they do. But I'll let you in on a little secret. Nobody knows the real story, because nobody has ever heard my side of the story. I'm the wolf, Alexander T. Wolf. You could call me Al. I don't know how this whole big bad wolf thing got started, but it's all wrong. Maybe it's because of our diet. Hey, it's not my fault wolves eat cute little animals like bunnies and sheep and pigs. That's just the way we are. If cheeseburgers were cute, folks would probably think that you were big and bad too. But like I was saying, the whole big bad wolf thing is all wrong. The real story is about a sneeze and a cup of sugar. This is the real story. Way back in Once Upon a Time, I was making a birthday cake for my dear old granny. I had a terrible sneezing cold. I ran out of sugar. So I walked down the street to ask my neighbor for a cup of sugar. Now this neighbor was a pig, and he wasn't too bright either. He had built his whole house out of straw. Can you believe it? I mean, who in his right mind would build a house out of straw? So of course, the minute I knocked on the door, it fell right in. I didn't want to just walk into somebody else's house, so I called, little pig, are you in? No answer. So I was just about to go home without the cup of sugar for my dear old granny's birthday cake. That's when my nose started to itch. I felt a sneeze coming on. Well, I huffed, and I snuffed, and I sneezed a great sneeze. And do you know what? The whole darn straw house fell down. And right in the middle of the pile of straw was the first little pig. Dead as a doornail. He had been home the whole time. It seemed like a shame to leave a perfectly good ham dinner lying there in the straw. So I ate it up. Think of it as a big cheeseburger just lying there. I was feeling a little better, but I still didn't have my cup of sugar. So I went to the next neighbor's house. This neighbor was the first little pig's brother. He was a little smarter, but not much. He had built his whole house out of sticks. I rang the bell on the stick house. Nobody answered. I called, Mr. Pig, are you in? He yelled back, go away, wolf, you can't come in. I'm shaving the hairs on my chinny chin chin. I had just grabbed the doorknob when I felt another sneeze coming on. I huffed, and I snuffed, and I tried to cover my mouth, but I sneezed a great sneeze. And you're not going to believe it, but this guy's house fell down just like his brother's. When the dust cleared, there was the second little pig, dead as a doornail, wolf's honor. You know, food will spoil if you just leave it out in the open. So I did the only thing there was to do. I had dinner. Again. Think of it as a second helping. I was getting awfully full, but my cold was feeling a little better. And I still didn't have that cup of sugar for my dear old granny's birthday cake. So I went to the next house. This guy was the first and second little pig's brother. He must have been the brains of the family. He had built his whole house out of bricks. I knocked on the brick house. No answer. I called, Mr. Pig, "Are you in?" And do you know what that rude little Porky answered? "Get out of here, Wolf! Don't bother me again!" Talk about impolite! He probably had a whole sack of sugar, and he wouldn't even just give me one little cup for my dear, sweet old granny's birthday cake. What a pig! I was just about to go home and maybe make a nice birthday card instead of a cake. I huffed and I snuffed and I sneezed once again. Then the third little pig yelled, "And your old granny can sit on a pin." Now, I'm usually a pretty calm fella, but when somebody talks about my granny like that, I go a little crazy. When the cops drove up, of course I was trying to break down that pig's door, and the whole time I was huffing and puffing and sneezing and making a real scene. The rest, as they say, is history. The news reporter found out about the two pigs I had for dinner. They figured a sick guy going to borrow a cup of sugar didn't sound very exciting, so they jazzed up the whole story with all of that huff and puff and blow your house down. And they made me the big bad wolf. That's it. That's the real story. I was framed. But maybe you could loan me a cup of sugar? The end.
Hi, my name is Casey Aiken, and I go to Park Avenue in Aztec, New Mexico. Today, I will be sharing how the sun, moon, and wind go out to dinner. One day, the sun, moon, and wind went out to dine with their uncles and aunts, Thunder and Lightning. Their mother, one of the most distant stars you see far up in the sky, waited alone for her children's return. Now both sun and moon were greedy and selfish. They enjoyed the great feast that had been prepared for them without a thought of saving any of it to take home to their mother. But the gentle moon did not forget her. Of every daintiest dish that was brought round, she placed a small portion under one of her beautiful long fingernails. That star might also have a share in a treat tonight. On their return, their mother, who had kept watch for them all night long, with her little bright eyes, said, "Well, children, that have you brought home for me?" The son, who was the oldest, said, "I have brought nothing home for you. I went out to enjoy myself with my friends, not to fetch a dinner for my mother." "And when," said, "neither have I brought anything home for you. Mother, you could hardly accept to bring a collection of good things for you when I merely went out for my own pleasure." But Moon said, "Mother, fetch a plate, see what I have brought for you." And shaking her hands, she showered such a choice of dinner as never seen before. Then Star turned to Sun and spoke thus, "Because you went out to amuse yourself with your friends and feasted and enjoyed yourself without any thought of your mother at home, you shall be cursed. Henceforth your rays shall be ever hot and scorching and shall burn all that they touch. And men shall hate you and cover their heads when you appear. And that is why the sun is so hot to this day." Then she turned to Wind and said, "You also forgot your mother in the midst of your selfish pleasures. Hear your doom. You shall always blow in the hot, dry weather and shall parch all living things, and men shall detest and avoid you from this very time. And that is why the wind is so hot." But Moon, she said, "Daughter, because you remembered your mother and kept for her a share in your own enjoyment, for henceforth you shall be ever cool and calm and bright. No noxious glare shall accompany your pure rays, and men shall always call you blessed. And that is why the moon's light is so soft and cool and bright, even to this day." The end. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Hello, my name is Alexandra Sheasley. I go to Ladera del Norte Elementary School, and I am in third grade. I am 8 years old. Today, I am going to be telling the story, Lucky Little Duck, by Jillian Harker. It was a bright summer morning, and Duck was waddling through the meadow when she met her friend Bunny.
Hello, Bunny, said Duck.
What are you doing today?
Nothing much, sighed Bunny. There isn't much going around here.
Not at all, agreed Squirrel from her branch. What we need is some excitement.
Just at that moment, something darted past Duck's head. Its wings sparkled in the sunlight. Its body shimmered blue and green.
Whoa, said Duck. Did you see that? It was so beautiful. I wonder what it was.
I don't know, said Squirrel.
Maybe it will come back in a minute.
Well, I'm not waiting for that, laughed Bunny. I'm gonna go find out.
Bunny hopped across the meadow.
Lucky Bunny, sighed Duck. Look at his big, strong legs. I can never move that fast.
Wait, said Squirrel. He stopped. I wonder what happened.
Maybe he found out what it was, said Duck. So they hurried to catch up with Bunny.
It's no use, panted Bunny. It's too high up to get a good look.
I'll try from this tree, offered Squirrel. She scurried up the tree trunk.
Lucky Squirrel, sighed Duck. Did you see how she ran up that tree? I can never climb anything.
Just a minute, said Bunny. She's coming back down. I wonder what happened.
It's no use, said Squirrel.
As soon as I got up the tree, it flew off again. It doesn't seem to stop anywhere.
We'll never find out what it was, groaned Bunny. Well, I'm not gonna give up, said Duck. Which way did it go?
Toward the pond, answered Squirrel.
Then let's follow it, said Duck. Are you coming?
Her friends nodded. They could see the mysterious creature circling around and around above the pond. Suddenly, it dipped and settled on a tall reed in the middle of the pond.
It landed, said Bunny. But we can't reach it, complained Squirrel.
I can, smiled Duck, as she slipped quietly into the pond and began to paddle away. Lucky little duck, sighed Bunny and Squirrel.
Whoa, said Duck.
Perched on the tallest reed was the most beautiful creature she had ever seen. Its wings sparkled in the sunlight. Its body shimmered blue and green.
Hi, said Little Duck. My name's Duck. Who are you?
I'm Dragonfly, replied the shy creature.
On the bank, Bunny and Squirrel watched sadly.
Lucky Little Duck, they sighed.
Are those your friends? Asked Dragonfly.
Yes, said Duck. Come and meet them. They'd love to be your friend, too.
Duck swam back to the riverbank. This is my new friend, Dragonfly, she said.
Lucky you, sighed Bunny and Squirrel.
Lucky me,
said Dragonfly, because Duck said you'd be my friends too.
Lucky us,
said Squirrel and Dragonfly, smiling. We're all lucky, said Dragonfly, thanks to Lucky Little Duck.
The end.
This has been Quintos Hana and Tales, presented by the Farmington Public Library and KSJE 90.9 FM.